More than 1 million people in South Florida don't have health insurance today. Beginning tomorrow, they will be able to shop for health insurance coverage and see if they qualify for federal tax credits to bring down the cost of their coverage. Hi, I'm Tom Hudson. Coming up today on the Sunshine Economy, on the eve of Obamacare, health insurance in South Florida. It's the politics, the prices, and the people. The state of Florida led the fight against health insurance reform, but some county mayors have pushed back. Insurance prices look to be cheaper in South Florida, but will that get people who don't have coverage to pay for the protection? It's all ahead on the Sunshine Economy. On the eve of Obamacare, health insurance in South Florida, and it's only on WLRN. Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson.
Title 45, Subtitle A, Subchapter B, Part 155, Subpart E, Section 155.
This arcane, dense legal language is what a federal regulation sounds like. This one is the federal rule by the Health and Human Services Department that led to tomorrow's opening of state health insurance exchanges and the lead-up to the individual mandate for health insurance as required by the Affordable Care Act, health reform, Obamacare. Come January 1st, most Americans will be required to have health insurance or face a small tax. In its decision to uphold the law, the Supreme Court called it a tax if one does not get health insurance and they are required to have it come January. But first tomorrow, October 1st, that's when open enrollment begins. State health insurance exchanges open for business. Several of those exchanges, though, despite their names, like the one here in Florida, are not actually operated by the state. Instead, Florida, like 35 other states, have outsourced running the state exchanges to the federal government.
The initial open enrollment period begins October 1st, 2013, and extends through March 31st, 2014.
So what has been come to be known as Obamacare gets its first big market test 3.5 years after the Obama administration got the bill into law.
This is a historic day. Today, after almost a century of trying, today, after over a year of debate, today, after all the votes have been tallied, health insurance reform becomes law in the United States of America.
My name is Edward Escobar. I don't have health insurance currently, and I don't plan to get health insurance once the mandate is issued.
Hi, I'm Kwame Livingston. I do not have health insurance right now. It became expensive, and I don't really use it, even though I know I need to have it.
My name is Jersey Garcia, and I live in Pembroke Pines, Florida, and I do not have health insurance.
Eddie Escobar, Kwame Livingston, and Jersey Garcia, three of the so-called Invincibles, a trio of young adults, presumably healthy, living in South Florida today without health insurance. These are just three of the people the Affordable Care Act hopes to attract to buy health insurance coverage, and three of the people the insurance companies hope to sign up in order to broaden out the risk of insuring older and sicker people. Now, the law's strategy is to require health insurance, the so-called individual mandate, make most Americans have to have health insurance or tax them if they don't. For Eddie Escobar, the tax he would have to pay in the new year if he doesn't have insurance by January is just not enough for him to pay for protection today.
I try and live as healthy a lifestyle as I can, and that also comes into my mind when making my decision. Obviously, emergencies are things we can't control, but I would work something out with the hospital afterwards, you know, if it's something where, you know, I'm in a car accident or something and they have to put a leg back in place and they can send me the bill and then, you know, I'll negotiate with them. I also don't think it's right for people who are stuck in an emergency type situation to be taken advantage of by hospitals.
Escobar figures the money he'll save by not buying health insurance is better spent investing in his business. He's a realtor. Despite his bet to not get insurance and that he will stay healthy, Escobar is not opposed to the law.
It's because the alternative to the Affordable Care Act would have been absolutely nothing. And we've been in the same boat. My dad has always had high blood pressure, not to a point where he has to take medication, but it's always been elevated. And, you know, because of that quote-unquote pre-existing condition, he would not be able to get health care without the ACA.
You hear a lot of that. A lot of that talk with people about health insurance. Sure, you hear plenty about politics, but you also hear the personal stories about having or not having health insurance.
Not having health insurance has brought a lot of anxiety in my life.
That's Jersey Garcia from Pembroke Pines. She's a single mom. She lost one of her jobs in February and has gone without health care coverage for herself since April.
Now I have the added stress and fear of getting sick or in an accident that will require that I go to the emergency room. So I'm already paying mortgage, a car loan, student loans, and adding any additional loan payments because of a medical bill will really tip me over. So I know that this has just caused a lot of stress to me.
That's the balancing act here, right? Finding a health insurance plan at the right price with the right coverage. That takes away the risk of facing the possibility of a big health insurance bill, but yet doesn't break the bank every month. Kwame Livingston puts it this way.
It's a cross between knowing that I have to spend $350 for something that I really would need and the fact that I never use it. But with the looming cloud of the fact that, hey, you know, if something happens, it's going to put you out a whole lot more.
Yeah. Livingston has a job. He's a freelance web designer, meaning he has no choice but to shop for health insurance on the individual market. So he works for himself, and he knows he's taking a risk by not having health insurance coverage.
I am a lot more aware, you know, I'm taking vitamins, and, you know, I don't want to get sick. I know that it will change my financial life. If I ever get sick, you know.
Kwame Livingston, Jersey Garcia, and Eddie Escobar, three people among the hundreds of thousands in the Sunshine Economy without health insurance today on the eve of Obamacare. WLRN Miami Herald reporter Gina Jordan in Tallahassee has more on the floor to fight against the law, even as open enrollment begins tomorrow.
The Affordable Care Act is for people who don't have health insurance or who buy insurance on their own instead of getting coverage through an employer.
My name is Michael DeFelipe, and I live in Miami Beach. I don't have health insurance.
DeFelipe is 28 years old. He says he's in good health, doesn't drink, smoke, or do drugs, and would rather pay a fine than pay insurance premiums.
I don't see the need for it. I'm very healthy and active, so I just don't have any interest in it.
He's part of the vocal opposition to the Affordable Care Act, which is designed to give more people insurance and lower overall health care costs for taxpayers.
I don't think I should be forced to buy health insurance. I have no problem taking the risk of just having good health and hopefully no accidents will happen. I just live day by day, so I don't think in a negative mindset.
Florida's Republican leadership also doesn't agree with the health insurance mandate. The state won't have any oversight regarding the cost of coverage, choosing instead to let the federal government handle it. Naples Republican Representative Matt Hudson says the country will have a shortage of 90,000 physicians and 1.2 million nurses by the year 2020 because of the new rules governing health care. He recently told a House panel in Washington that the federal government is keeping states in the dark about the Affordable Care Act, or ACA.
What we do know doesn't look very good. The ACA will make our health workforce shortage even worse and has led to skyrocketing premiums. It has kept states uninformed and puts consumers' privacy at risk through the insurance exchanges. Patients will face even longer wait times and worse access to specialty care.
Figures just released by the federal government show Floridians will pay about $250 a month on average for the lowest cost plans, and that amount will be reduced for those who qualify for tax credits. Damian Filer with the advocacy group Progress Florida says critics of the ACA should remember that nearly a quarter of Florida residents have no health care coverage.
Scare tactics have been a real part of the opposition to providing as many Floridians as possible with affordable, quality health care. And I think Florida families are really tired of all the politics, and they want to see something get done. And I think that this kind of rhetoric will start to fade into the background.
Filer says those shopping for insurance have nothing to fear from the people offering assistance in communities around the state. Those people are called navigators.
These are people that have received training, that understand what the laws are as regards people's privacy. There's really no difference between this and when people have questions about Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security. It's simply a resource for people.
Jody Ray received a federal grant to hire navigators. She's project director for the Florida Covering Kids and Families Initiative.
They're not collecting people's personal information. They're assisting them with filling out the form. So they don't need to collect information and walk away with it.
Her navigators have been trained and will fan out across the state to offer assistance. Ray is urging shoppers to go online now and create an account.
They can go to healthcare.gov and already register and get their account set up. That's something they can do now. They don't have to wait for us. And that will save some time when they sit down and have to do an application.
Shoppers won't get much help from the state. Florida leaders, citing privacy concerns, have banned navigators from entering county health departments. But several counties, including Broward, Miami-Dade, and Pinellas, say they will ignore the order. Carol Gentry with Health News Florida says those who seek treatment at the health department are the ones who need coverage the most.
Right now, counties are either adding sales taxes or property taxes or all kinds of mechanisms to try to raise money to pay for the care of the uninsured.
The cost of premiums will be based on income, family size, and the level of coverage. There are four plans that range from bronze, the most basic coverage, to platinum. Geographic location will also factor into the cost. Gentry says the marketplace will serve the uninsured of all ages, as well as those who buy private insurance because they don't have benefits at work.
There are so many uninsured people from 50 to 65 who cannot get insurance. They have either been priced out of the market because of their age, or they have a pre-existing health condition. They will be definitely helped.
Shoppers on the ACA marketplace can compare plans and enroll starting October 1st. Plans are effective in January. Open enrollment for coverage in 2014 closes at the end of March. I'm Gina Jordan in Tallahassee.
It is the eve of Obamacare health insurance in South Florida, the sunshine economy here on WLRN. You can see pictures of the Invincibles on our website at WLRN.org. While there, participate in the live chat ongoing right now in regards to health insurance. If you don't have health insurance now, do you plan on paying the penalty or buying it before the beginning of the year? If you do have health insurance, are you satisfied with what you're getting for what you're paying? Join that discussion online right now, live chat at WLRN.org, or send us a tweet at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Still to come on the program, the dawn of health insurance mandates leads to fewer plans from Florida's biggest private insurer, Florida
Blue. We'll have a wide range of offerings, but it just won't be as many as were available prior to the October 1st.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. On the eve of Obamacare, health insurance in South Florida. More than 100 plans will greet you tomorrow if you go shopping for health insurance on the federally run State Insurance Exchange. More than 100 plans. One of those offering the plans, the biggest private insurer in the state of Florida, Florida Blue. Pat Garrity is the chairman and CEO of Florida Blue. Pat, welcome back to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. The premium levels that you're pricing your Florida Blue plans at in the state exchange, how different are those from the so-called private insurance market?
You know, there's a lot of factors in these plans because, first of all, it depends on what benefit levels you have today. In many cases, the benefit plans are richer because there's a defined level of benefits in each of the options within the Federal Affordable Care Act. So if you're getting higher benefits, that's going to impact the cost. And then there are other elements, including new provisions, new insurance provisions that were placed in place, like there's no limit to coverage, and there are wellness benefits and lots of other factors that are in the price. So that you have all of those factors going on, and then you have the issue of what kind of subsidy are you as an individual eligible for. So it's very hard to pin what one person's price is going to be. That's why we're suggesting that everybody take a good close look at this, and we're doing a lot of educational seminars to help people navigate through this decision.
The level of coverage obviously is going to depend. There's catastrophic care, which is generally a very high deductible and covers just, again, catastrophic health emergencies, all the way up to the gold plan, the so-called Cadillac plans. Do the prices that you're seeing in the marketplace correspond with prices that otherwise Florida Blue would be charging in an individual market that it has for the past several years without the federal marketplace?
Well, one of the challenges, Tom, is that today we have the opportunity to have a 7-to-1 ratio between our lowest price and our highest price. And the Affordable Care Act requires that there only be 3 tiers of pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that means if you're on the upper end from an age perspective, that you'll get some relief in that part of the rating process. And younger folks will actually pay more. So it really depends on your individual circumstances. Both your age and your income will dictate greatly whether you're going to see a change in your price that will be substantial.
And the idea here is obviously to get younger, healthier, uninsured South Floridians into the risk pool. Do you think it'll be successful?
Well, I think that's a critical part of making sure that we have a healthy risk pool that will support everyone who's covered. We certainly are doing all the education and outreach that we possibly can. There's a federal mandate on the individual to get coverage.
Right.
And I think that's another critical component that will drive people to take a very serious look at being covered and making sure that they're not susceptible should they have some catastrophic event in their life.
You mentioned the individual mandate, which comes into play January 1st. That's why we're talking about the open enrollment. That's why the ACA is providing this kind of on-ramp into the individual market and has created these state exchanges to get folks into that risk pool. And there is a small fine if one is not participating in health insurance, and they should come January. Critics will say that fine isn't big enough. The fine is too cheap right at this point to provide incentives to the invincibles to get them into the risk pool.
Well, the fine increases each year. And so while it isn't a significant number this year at $95, it will increase over each year of the Affordable Care Act. So I think it was something of getting people used to it, but it will be significant enough for people to pay attention to it over time.
Yeah, $95 fine compared to a premium of close to $200 a month if you can look at the aggregate average for these state exchange plans that have been released from HHS. Doesn't seem like much of an incentive to get into that risk pool.
No, and I think the other thing, though, when you start the dialogue, you start to look at what's your liability should you have a significant car accident or some other type of situation that puts you in a place where you're uncovered and you've got a lot of expenses in front of you.
Florida Blue is the name of the company. Pat Garrity is the CEO. Pat, are you offering more plans for the individual market in the state of Florida via the state exchange, which opens up tomorrow, compared to what you offered, say, a year ago in the individual market in the state of Florida with no state exchange?
Well, we certainly are going to have lots of offerings, but it's significantly fewer offerings than we had prior to the exchange.
Hmm.
The plans we're offering have to meet the test of the 4 levels of coverage in the so-called metal plans, the bronze through gold,
mm-hmm.
and then the catastrophic plan. So you really have 5 categories. So we have multiple offerings within those 5 categories. But what we can't offer in going forward is the lower level of benefits that a lot of folks found affordable to them, excuse me, and a good opportunity for them to access the marketplace. Those plan designs are no longer meeting the test of the federal benefit level, and so those options will no longer be available.
So when you're talking about the 5 categories, it's the catastrophic, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Those are the kind of different levels of categories that health insurance providers like Florida Blue are required to offer to participate in this federally run state exchange that Florida will have beginning October 1st. That's fewer plans, though, than that Floridians will have to choose from for the individual market than they had from Florida Blue a year ago. Is that correct?
That's correct. I still think we'll have a wide range of offerings, but it just won't be as many as were available prior to the October 1st.
Does that limit the so-called elasticity of the pricing? In other words, there's fewer price levels to choose from for folks who are looking for insurance?
Yes, that's true. It is actually because there are fewer options, the pricing will be perhaps clearer because there will be less stratification of benefit levels and price. But, you know, I think there'll be enough choice there for people to feel like they can pick a plan that lines up with their needs.
You came from Blue Cross Blue Shield in Minnesota. You head up Florida Blue now, one of the largest insurance providers in the Sunshine State. Philosophically, I'm wondering what you think about this effort to bend the cost curve of the delivery of health care by addressing the demand side, because essentially that's what the ACA does. It addresses costs on the demand side, the insurance side, as opposed to addressing costs on the supply side, the delivery of the health care. Is that the right approach?
Well, I think that certainly all stakeholders in healthcare have an obligation to contribute to the solution that we're working on. I think there is more, much more that can be done on the delivery side. If you really look at cost, you're looking at 85% of the costs are in the delivery of care. And so what's at the heart of this issue is that we as a nation have to face up to changing from a fee-for-service, meaning the more you do as a delivery system, the more you get paid. We have to move off of that payment arrangement and move to an arrangement that really is focused on value. We often refer to this as the volume-to-value transformation. And so we're creating partnerships across the state that are focused on that. And believe it or not, I think there are many enlightened health system delivery leaders who are partnering with us to make this change because they understand that our nation cannot afford to continue to pay multiples of the CPI level of increases to the health delivery system.
The consumer price index.
Exactly. So that really has to change. And we really have to be focused on delivering what will allow our businesses to flourish, our individuals to be able to afford coverage so that we as a nation are covering as many people as we possibly can. Because when somebody walks into a hospital without coverage, that is uncompensated care, and that winds up being paid for by everybody else. So we really do have to have a more rational way of thinking about the financing of healthcare.
Some have pointed to that rationality coming from price transparency. Would you be willing to work with your medical delivery partners to provide publication of the insurance rates, essentially, that you contract with those providers?
You know, we're absolutely moving in that direction. A lot of partners over the past have wanted their pricing to be confidential. But what we're seeing now, if you go into any one of our centers or if you go online with Florida Blue as a customer, we have an application called Know Before You Go. And in many, many services, we can show you the range of cost for the total procedure and what your cost would be as an individual in advance of going for the service. And so we have people today who are price shopping between various providers in their community.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a general market condition that has to take place.
You said something interesting there. Some of your clients, the hospitals and others, want confidentiality. Does Florida Blue require confidentiality with those contracted rates?
You know, that's certainly been one of the issues in the past, but what we're trying to do is move towards greater transparency so that more customers are informed when making the choices and decisions that they want. So we're moving towards a much more transparent environment with all of the players in the healthcare system. This is coming and will absolutely be something that will be in the marketplace before very long.
Does that mean the dropping of those confidentiality clauses in those contracted rates?
I think you're going to see that, and I think you're going to see numerous high-quality providers who actually look at it as a competitive advantage to have their numbers out there.
Not necessarily going to see a sale sign on a hospital ER, but at least we'll have some maybe price transparency involved.
You know, when you move to a more marketplace-driven environment, it's natural that the retail consumer is going to want to know. And I think our system is going to be much more consumer-centric than it will be provider-centric in the future.
Pat, finally, I want to ask you in regards to this. We had the CEO of Mount Sinai Medical Center on, Steve Sonnenreich, who said that he's working with at least six of his insurance companies to provide price transparency. Is this, again, something that Florida Blue could get behind to drop the confidentiality clause in its contracted rates with a medical center like that?
Yes, I think that's something that you will see coming.
Pat Garrity, the chairman and CEO of Florida Blue. Pat, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
And you can hear Steve Sonnenreich's comments on the Sunshine Economy, WLRN.org. Click on the Sunshine Economy tab. To the push toward price transparency, join that conversation on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Natalia Martinez tweeted us, looking forward to more healthcare transparency and access to information in Miami and elsewhere. There is more information on our live chat right now on the website at WLRN.org, including the text of the original ACA bill. Still to come on our program, what Obamacare may mean for most people getting health insurance through their jobs.
We have been told by a number of the carriers that people that have traditional group health insurance plans may see increases significant over what they're currently paying. A significant could be 25 to 50%.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. On the eve of Obamacare, health insurance in South Florida. Earlier in the program, we met Kwame Livingston and Eddie Escobar, two of the so-called Invincibles, a couple of guys among the almost 750,000 people in Miami-Dade County, younger than 65 years old, living without health insurance today. Now, both have jobs. Both are working, but neither have coverage through work. Livingston is a freelance web developer. Escobar is a realtor. Livingston plans on getting health insurance before the individual mandate goes into force in January. Escobar does not. Now, they will have dozens of plans to choose from beginning tomorrow when open enrollment begins. Chuck Vodica is a partner at independent insurance agency InSource in Miami. Mark Abba is the general manager of the employee benefits division of MHG Insurance Brokers based in Fort Lauderdale. The two employee benefit executives do not think Livingston and Escobar will be paralyzed by too many plans if they want coverage.
No, I don't believe it will be in terms of the number of plans. If they're doing it on their own, it will be like a cafeteria-style option. And yes, they could get avalanched in terms of looking at it and thinking, where do I go from here?
Perception is reality. And if your perception is that you don't need health insurance or want health insurance, then you'll go that route. But if you really want health insurance, I think there will be options.
I want to talk about that first option you mentioned, those who don't want health insurance. Escobar is one of those who has said he simply would rather pay the fine than pay the premium at this point.
I was shocked at how much I would have to pay, given that I don't smoke. I'm barely a drinker if I go out. And it was almost $200 a month. Next year, once I'm married, I'll be able to jump on my fiance's healthcare plan, which when we looked at the numbers this year, is somewhere around $70 or something like that for me to add myself onto her plan. So, I mean, that seems reasonable, but $200 just seems an extraordinary amount of money for somebody who, you know, I have no real need for a doctor unless it's an emergency type situation.
Chuck, that incentive, that fee or that tax that individuals may face come January 1st if they don't have health insurance, Escobar is willing to pay that, I guess, until his nuptials and is able to add to his wife's plan. But talk to us about the incentives that are included here as it tries to get the almost 4 million Floridians who are uninsured onto insurance and in the risk pool.
I think the penalty tax, whatever you want to call it, is not significant enough that if someone doesn't want insurance, they would buy it anyway because they were afraid of the penalty.
Kwame Livingston, the other gentleman we met earlier in the program, who currently is working, does not have health insurance, but wants to have health insurance, said that currently, prior to the ACA open enrollment, just too expensive. He was finding plans at $350 a month, and he doesn't use it that much to justify that kind of expense when he's healthy. And this is what he's looking for in a plan.
$150 is reasonable. I'd like to go to a doctor of my choosing, or at least be able to create a reputation, you know, have a relationship with one.
What kind of deductible are you willing to pay, or a copay?
I'd say $20 to $30.
For a copay?
Yeah, for a copay, I think is fairly reasonable.
So a $20 or $30 copay without an HMO, he's looking for, I guess, Mark, what's called a PPO, so he can decide the kinds of doctors he wants within a bigger health network at $150 a month. Do you think he'll find it?
No, I really don't. And the PPO, I mean, most of the PPO plans can be considered Cadillac of the sort. Probably what he's looking at is a POS, which is
point of service.
A point of service plan. And even those are now changing. You can look at point of service plans that are actually HMOs, but just on a national level. So what he's maybe looking for is that, will he get a PPO? I don't believe so. Check out. I haven't seen that even in terms of it being out there or offered.
Chuck, you've gone through the Navigator training. What kind of armchair guidance could you give Kwame?
I think that at this point in time, none of us really know what the cost is going to be or what the network is going to be of the different providers.
I want to ask about the 3/4 of residents in Miami-Dade under the age of 65 who do have health insurance, and the 2/3 of people in Broward County under the age of 65 who do have health insurance. A great majority of them are likely in what's called the group market, so they get health insurance through their employers or through their spouse's employer. How is all of this impacting, Chuck, the pricing that you're seeing for that kind of insurance as we move into 2014?
We have been told by a number of the carriers that people that have traditional group health insurance plans may see increases significant over what they're currently paying.
20%, 30%?
A significant could be 25 to 50%.
Wow.
Under 50 employees, right now, insurance companies can rate on the health of that group, and they can have a pretty high disparity of rates between younger and older people. And they can also not offer all the benefits that are considered the essential health benefits of the of ACA. Those plans, when they renew next year, will be in compliance with ACA, and they're projecting very large increases in some groups if they're younger and healthier. The groups that are older and sicker may actually see a decrease in their renewal with ACA.
Young and healthy, higher prices. Old and sick, lower prices.
And I do believe that's what's going to happen. It's community pooling. It's a fancy way of saying you've got all of these people in there. Who's going to pay for the sick? Well, the youngster. And when you try and tell a young person, you know, what you're paying now as a group, you're going to be paying more. And I do firmly believe that's going to happen. It's really the model of socialist medicine, but this isn't a socialist healthcare system. But that's the way it works.
In a service economy like we have here in South Florida, gentlemen, a lot of these companies are generally small companies.
Correct.
How is this going to impact the vitality of these companies when they're looking at these kinds of cost increases for the insurance they're providing their employees?
Mm-hmm.
And the impact that it may have on the sustainability of employer-based coverage with a small company.
When you go to these people, they may say to you, the owners, I just want to get rid of it. Send everybody to the exchange. Can't be doing this. Don't need it. That's fine. You have to then look, without putting on a moral step and saying, you know, this is all wrong, explain to them about, you know, keeping the employees, the retention factor, looking after them, doing the right thing. I mean, if the plans are there, we can move to the ACA plans, to the shop, as they're calling it. Or we can move to traditional. There are options, but it's a way of looking at that and trying to get the employer to understand exactly what is going on here.
Chuck, what do you think from a local economic growth perspective, as you see those kinds of cost increases that you're predicting for local employers on the group side, small employers in a service-based economy, an economy that is built on visitors coming here, is it sustainable for the local economy, local employers?
we have to be patient through this process. And we have to remember that prior to this whole thing, if I had a child in my house over 22 years of age that wasn't a full-time student or even was a full or wasn't a full-time student, they had to come off of my health insurance. Mm-hmm. If I had cancer 2 years ago, I couldn't buy health insurance today. A lot of these things are going to be changing, and I think we need to focus on the good part of it as well, not just the negative.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons why health insurance has been so expensive here to date is because basically a large sector of the population who feel they don't need it don't buy it. Those are the younger, healthier people, and so negative adverse selection then creates higher premiums for older people who may have health issues. Yet if some of those younger people develop illnesses, they don't get treated right away till they get really bad, and then the sicknesses cause them to have very huge bills and hospital bills. And we're all paying for that. These treatments aren't free. We're paying for them.
Mark, there's a moral argument that's been made, a moral argument that's been made for decades to get to this point. There's the economic argument, obviously, that's been made for a long, long time. And the economic argument for the passage of the ACA was about bending the cost curve of health care by addressing it through health insurance. So if we're looking at 2014 as the individual mandate, 2015 as employer coverage
for larger groups.
When does that cost curve begin to get bent?
Well, you're definitely not going to see it. And I would say you're not going to see it 2014, obviously. I mean, Chuck and I have been talking about this. You're just not going to see it. 2016, 2018, you might start seeing something. Because by then, the plans will be mature, we'll be looking at it, but it still doesn't address the question or the point that Chuck made, quite rightly. What are the states going to do about it?
It is the eve of Obamacare in South Florida. Health insurance in the sunshine economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. The online chat at WLRN.org includes the 10 essential benefits that the uninsured will find in all Affordable Care Act health insurance plans that will be open for open enrollment beginning tomorrow, October 1st, throughout the nation and including here in the state of Florida. Still to come on our program here today, standing up to the state of Florida's directive to keep health insurance out of the health department.
We decided that we own the facilities and the governor can't tell us what we can do there, and we are going to reach out to as many people as possible.
This is the Sunshine Economy on the eve of Obamacare, health insurance in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Florida led the fight against the Affordable Care Act. The legal fight may have ended with the Supreme Court ruling the law constitutional, but state officials have continued raising objections. Just earlier this month, as open enrollment approached, Governor Scott deemed it inappropriate to have navigators, people hired to assist others in finding their way through the state health insurance exchanges, from working at state health department facilities. But a few counties pushed back, including Miami-Dade and Broward. Kristen Jacobs is the mayor of Broward County.
Well, we have 392,000 people in Broward County alone who are either uninsured or underinsured. And the idea that we would not be able to reach out to them and bring them into the dignity of health care, to be able to see a doctor when they first start to feel sick, or maybe even when they don't feel sick, maybe they just go for checkups. This is a healthy, great direction for us to go. And to know that we were being banned from sharing information about this opportunity that could change so many lives in a very facility dedicated to health made no sense to me. We decided that we own the facilities and the governor can't tell us what we can do there, and we are going to reach out to as many people as possible, both through that facility and through all county facilities and every other opportunity we have to get the word out.
Talk us through the process. Once you made the decision to go against the state directive and allow the navigators into the Broward County Health Department facilities, did you first call the county attorney and see if it could be done?
You bet. The county attorney's office is always our first stop to say, well, gee, we don't like this, but we have an idea of what we could do about it. How does this all shake out? And so a quick review of the county's lease that is in place with the state yielded the information that we can basically dictate what it is we want to do on our premises. And so that was basically it. Once we had the green light there, the item went on the agenda, and as you saw, it was an 8-1 vote, and the commission members very passionate and eager to speak out for the needs of South Florida residents.
After you spoke with the county attorney and put the item on the agenda, did you call the state health department and let them know that this may happen?
No, we didn't.
Have you talked to anybody from the state after this decision?
You know, following our decision, there was a statement that was released that was so factually off base that it kind of shut down conversation. The statement that was released that was said in a setting precedent that the county commission had moved to allow navigators into the facilities, which wasn't true because the state had already negotiated a similar deal with Pinellas County. So obviously we weren't setting precedent. So the first three words of their statement were incorrect. And then finally they went on to worry about privacy issues. And as we all know, the state passed legislation this past March that allowed the state to weigh in and set the criteria for navigators, and they have neglected to do that. So if the state truly had concerns about privacy, then they would have acted already, and they haven't. And so, you know, that's why I say it's a smokescreen. The issues of privacy, the training that navigators get, some of these navigators are going to be including county employees and county facilities that we'll be using every way that we can to help get the word out. At the end of the day, pointing people to healthcare.gov is the smartest thing that we can do. And, you know, and to the degree to which the state shut down the ability for navigators to go into these facilities, they didn't stop there. They went a step further and said, you know, those brochures that you have that we already know what their content says, we're not even going to allow you to put those out on the counter. We're going to compel you to hide them in out of sight, and only if someone, a patient, comes in and asks for them, only in that situation will we allow you to hand them out. To me, that's just mean-spirited. It's hurtful to the people of Broward County, and I just felt like we could not stand by and let that happen. This is not about politics. It's about what's hurting our citizens and what we need to do to help them find health care.
As you know, some in the state have expressed concerns about privacy working with the navigators. What kind of assurances do you have that those privacy concerns can be put aside?
Well, first of all of these, the navigators have contracts with the federal government. They've had training. The navigator, for example, in Broward County is the Epilepsy Foundation. The work that they're doing to help push people toward information begins and ends there. They are trained to be able to share information about the different plans, and then it's up to the person to choose which plan they want. It's important to understand that many people who will now be eligible for insurance have never had it in their lives, and they don't understand the system. They don't know where to go, and that's what the navigators are there to do.
We're speaking with the mayor of Broward County. Kristen, any estimate on what Broward County spends on uninsured health care?
I don't have those estimates now in front of me, but I will tell you that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that healthcare delivered on the front end before you're ill is significantly cheaper to government and to all taxpayers than that which is delivered in an emergency situation at the hospital. So getting people the help that they need, the coverage that they need, is really, really important to Broward County. It is important to all taxpayers to minimize our costs and to make sure that we have healthy people in our county.
Finally, I do want to mention the politics here. You're of one political persuasion, but the mayor of Miami-Dade County is of the other political persuasion. But you seem to agree on this issue by allowing these federally contracted navigators onto the grounds of county health departments against the directive of the state. What do you think that says?
You know, listen, when someone's ill and they go to the doctor, does the doctor ask them what party they're from? Of course not. Party is not an issue here. There are those that are making this into a political issue. But both Carlos Jimenez and I and other leaders around this state know that healthy people reduces our cost to government. It's a better society. We all want happy, healthy families in our communities. And we know that starts with helping them find insurance and finding the information that they need. This is absolutely not a partisan issue.
The mayor of Broward County, Kristen Jacobs, speaking to the Sunshine Economy. Still to come, what we don't know about Obamacare, and there's plenty.
I tell you, that's the thing that's keeping me up at night these days. I'm trying to figure out when we will get all of the information, and when we do, how much it will take us to dissect it, make it understandable for people. It's an enormous task that's going on right now, huge transformation.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. So here we are, hours away from the full launch of healthcare.gov and one of the largest real-time economic experiments held. Yet there's still so many unanswered questions. Amy Driscoll is an assistant metro editor at the Miami Herald.
We don't know some really basic stuff like the size of the deductible, hospitalization, the sorts of things that people are going to that are going to help them make a decision on how which plans they want to take and which ones are affordable for them and which ones would cover the things they need to have them cover.
Now, we've been told that that information will be released October 1st.
Right.
Any reason to suspect that perhaps not all that information is going to be there?
Well, we've been unable at the Herald so far to figure out exactly how that information will be disseminated. We are trying to find out because we'd like to see an overview of all the plans so we can give people an idea of what we're seeing, you know, from top to bottom. But all they'll tell us so far is that on October 1st, on the healthcare.gov site that consumers will go to sign up, we will be able to see all the plans. Now, if you'll only be able to see them as a consumer on the plan, the plans that you qualify for, is really unclear at this point. And I think that that kind of thing is going to be the source of some confusion for people first thing out.
The lack of information in terms of what's inside the policy is a real sticking point.
Yeah.
Because price is one thing, but what you're getting for that price is still a big question and
sure.
is likely going to be a question through and beyond January 1st.
Right. I think that one of the things we're looking at specifically would be network size. That's something that we're hearing will be used to differentiate prices on various plans. But if you as a consumer want to make sure that you have X hospital in your network or your doctor is in it or that you can travel between Broward and Dade and see doctors in both places, that's something that would be an important thing for you to know. And yet we have no idea so far what that's going to look like. I think that's going to be difficult to sort out in, you know, early on.
Some of the prices that we've seen and the Herald has reported on in this week leading up to the launch of healthcare insurance reform have been lower to some degree in South Florida than the rest of the state. But how do they compare with prices that we saw prior to this health insurance reform? I mean, that's the real comparison that we need to look at here, right? Is it bending that cost curve in terms of healthcare insurance?
Right. And that is something we've been trying very hard to figure out. It's difficult, once again, because we don't really feel like we have an apples-to-apples comparison. Without knowing what the deductibles are and what those other factors are that go into the price, it's very difficult to tell if we are actually saying, okay, this is a less expensive plan for what you're getting. Each plan, as you know, under the ACA has to have what they call the 10 essential benefits, which will be those important areas of coverage, the preventive coverage, hospitalization, that sort of thing.
Right.
So that could easily make a plan cost more under the ACA, but give you more as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're looking at things like averages, and averages can be pretty misleading. We do have one average that we've looked at so far for 2012. An average bronze plan was about $243 a month premium, and an average bronze plan under this we're hearing is about $257, so slightly higher.
Yeah. And when we're looking at those prices, those are kind of the retail prices, the tax credits that folks may or may not be able to qualify for depending upon income levels could bring that down.
Right. And tax credits are, you know, that's the huge factor here that we, you know, that's an individual situation.
Yeah.
You'll have to go in, you'll have to put in how much money you make, you'll have to figure out if you qualify for a subsidy, but that could drive your price way, way, way down. You could be paying something under $100 with a subsidy. And even for a family of four, we looked at some of those areas and it really still could be very inexpensive if you qualify for a tax subsidy. And of course, the subsidies in Florida are only available to people who make between 100% of the poverty level and 400% of the poverty level. We in the state of Florida, since we did not expand Medicaid, we're not really offering anything to speak of for people who make less than 100% of the poverty level, which is kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. But
right.
The poorest people are probably not going to qualify for much.
Finally, Amy, have you ever experienced this kind of wide scale dissemination of this huge plan, but yet still hours to go, unable to really kind of get your arms around it?
I'll tell you, that's the thing that's keeping me up at night these days. I'm trying to figure out when we will get all of the information, and when we do, how much it will take us to dissect it, make it understandable for people. It's an enormous task that's going on right now, huge transformation, and I think that, you know, that's something that consumers really want to know right now, and we so far have been unable to supply it.
It's interesting. There are the individual household questions, right, for those folks that are in the insurance market. And then there's the larger cultural and economic questions here that are going to take weeks, if not months, perhaps years to really play out to see what kind of impact this is going to have.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thinks that what we're going to start doing on October 1st is what we will be doing a few years from now. I think things will change, things will evolve, and we'll see what works and doesn't work. One thing that I think is interesting that the Obama administration is saying is that the numbers that we're seeing in Florida are because of competition, because we have a pretty robust insurance market. We have 11 companies here. We have 9 that are going to be offering plans in Miami-Dade. And that, they say, is driving the prices down. And if that's the case, then the marketplace would actually be working.
9 companies offering more than 100 plans
right.
for South Floridians, right. County-to-county basis. Amy Driscoll, trying to get her arms around all of it for the Miami Herald. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, insurance obviously is very complex, and it can be pretty costly, too. But essentially, it's a transfer of risk while also taking responsibility for that cost to others. Hopefully, it allows us to feel more secure. This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.
Decision on how, which